You know, reading in the book of St. John in chapter 8, Jesus is reproving some because of their sins. And in the 7th verse, he said, "So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Then he went down and he said, in the 12th verse, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In the 14th verse, he said, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Then he said in verse 21, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Verse 23, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You know, Jesus was continually trying to tell us something. The whole time that he was here in the earth, he was trying to tell these people something. And today, by the word, the same word, whereas he spoke, saying, "What I say to one, I say to all," he said those things to them, he's still saying those things to us. The only difference is that he is saying these things to them while he was tabernacle in his human body. And he was speaking to them as one that had never yet died for sin, and speaking to them in that they had never yet had the opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he had never yet died for sin. That is, the blood had never yet been given as to Calvary. Though it was given from the foundation of the world, yet it had not been made manifest there, in that the Bible said this was given to us from Christ before the world ever was, and then brought to light at Calvary. It had not yet been placed on the seat of atonement as to be given. And therefore Jesus spoke a little bit different to them. "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I'm not of this world." But see, it's a little bit different with us now. When he speaks to us, the blood is already on the seat of atonement. He has already died for the remission of sin. And we have already been born again. We've already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, when he speaks to you and I now, he speaks after this fashion, even as he spoke of himself, saying that, "Ye are bone of my bone, and ye are flesh of my flesh, and ye are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world." So then, I'm not of this world, then ye are not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. So he does not say to you and I that ye are of this world, and I am from above, and ye are from beneath. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you're natural people and I'm spiritual people. For he says, they that are born to the Spirit, they are spirit. And they have passed from death unto life. And the body of this death is gone. You know, we make a lot of fuss over the body, and we're always trying to preserve the body. We feed the body, we pamper the body, we do everything we can for the body. All of our labor is for the body, for the mouth, for the belly, because it craves it of us. And we're always wanting to build a house, buy a car, put money in the bank, have security, have a good name, have riches, have money. You know what? The Bible emphatically tells us that if the love of the world's in us, the love of the Father's not there. And that if we're worldly minded, having those things on our mind and being concerned as to the things of the world, then we could not have God on our mind and be joyfully entreated by God or being joyfully inspired by the things of God, because we're not spiritual and we're not concerned about spiritual things, but we are concerned with natural things, and we are naturally minded. Therefore, we are earthly bound as to the gravitational forces of this world. Therefore, we are in the world and the world is in us. Because whatever's in us, then we are in that we are caught in the environment of our own thinking. All right, so then we see that we're always working for this body when this body profiteth nothing. You know, isn't that something? We said, but this is a wonderful body. You know, I'm born again. I'm God's body. You know, and that's true. We are God's body. When we're born again, we're God's body. We're God's body to the extent that we are free from the body of sin. And the body of sin is now dead, and the body of sin is now gone. And God never sees the body of sin anymore. It's dead, it's buried, and it's gone in the sight of God. But when I say to Brother Taylor, I say, Brother Taylor, what body is gone? Brother Taylor would say, the body that I was born with. I said, well, what body was that? He said, the one you're looking at. I said, well, then that means, Brother Taylor, that God never sees you anymore. Is that right? He would say, of course, that's right. I'd say, well, who does God see? He would say, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of whom I consist of now, as to members in particular. That is, he looks beyond this world and he sees the change, and he sees me in my change, and he sees me as a finished product as being complete in Christ. I'm now bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. He doesn't see this body anymore. He doesn't see this wretched image anymore. He doesn't see that. And what I'm trying to do, Brother Pike, I'm trying to take this body and I'm trying to realize that it's dead by Calvary and that it's planted beneath the water. And I'm trying to change every configuration of my life. My desire, my impulses, my thoughts, my actions, my intents of my heart, my plans, my program, everything until the Frank Taylor that one time was doesn't exist anymore. The spiritual impulses and the reflex of the man of yesteryear and the man of yesterday is not there anymore. That is nothing but Christ and his spirit on the inside, that I might say with Paul, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God. That I am dead and I'm not alive anymore. That life of Paul is completely gone. And now I am inspired of God in all I think, all I do, every impulse, every action, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, I brought into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I meditate in his laws day and night. I'm not given to those impulses of lust, and I'm not given to the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and these human senses that's ever pulling and tugging at me. But I keep under my body, Paul said, and I bring all these things into subjection, lest after I have preached others, even as a minister, I myself become a castaway. So then we find that we get the cart ahead of the horse. And we're trying to tug at something and take something into heaven that God doesn't want to go into heaven. And we're trying to take this old carcass into heaven when God doesn't want it there. He wants it dead. He wants it killed. He wants it buried. He wants it forgotten. He wants it done away with. And he wants us to seek the kingdom of God and keep our minds on the kingdom of God and to meditate in his laws day and night and to stay in there with that all the time to bring every thought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody would say, well, now, Brother Pike, if I did that, that means I couldn't see no more, I couldn't hear no more, I couldn't talk anymore. I just have to take a gun and blow my brains out and that'd be the end of it. No, you don't have to do that. Because when Jesus died at Calvary, as you say, there went the brains. That was the end of your brains. That was the end of it. God took care of all of that for you. When Jesus went to Calvary, that was the end of the trail for the old serpent. That was the end of the trail for the generation of vipers. That was the end of the trail for your first birth in Adam as all die. That was the end of the trail for that you as to your first birth. And it's dead and it's gone and it's buried and should be forgotten to never be remembered. For the Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind, let us press forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus as to the casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, even to every thought, even to the intents of the heart, even to the reflex of the mind. So we need to get rid of the self. Get rid of you and I. The Bible said not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but to think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto every man. That we should mortify the deeds of the flesh. And the Bible said denying ourselves we should take up our cross and follow after the Lord. And the Bible teaches that though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. So then we're trying to do something for the Lord Jesus. Sin, we don't need to cuddle this outer man and try to take him into the glory world. We don't need to do that. We need to follow Christ. We've already been translated into the inner glory world. And our spiritual man is already in heaven. And this outer man is dead and buried and he's in a watery grave. And that's the end of it. See, and we don't want to mess with him. He's dead, he's buried, he's gone, he's despised, he's rejected. God didn't want him. He was a bastard child to begin with him, and God didn't want him. And God doesn't want him, and God won't have him. He is despised, he's rejected, God killed him, God done away with him. So then Paul said, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And that natural body God despised. He rejected. It was a bastard child. And he killed it and he buried it and he don't want it. Now, Paul said it is sown a natural, it is raised a spiritual. It is sown a corruptible, it is raised an incorruptible. It is sown a terrestrial, it is raised a celestial. And he said the glory of the natural is one, the glory of the spiritual is another. As to that which is natural, he said that is one body. He said, and then there's another body. And as we've borne the image of the earthly, he said, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Or as we have borne the image of the earthly as to the first man, Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly, which is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second man, Adam, which is the Lord from heaven. And so then God looks way over here and sees us in the change as to when the Lord Jesus comes back and every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. And the Bible said every man that hath this hope that when he appears that this mortal body shall be changed from mortality to immortality in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, into him. And this mortal shall put on immortality, and this natural body shall completely be eradicated, and no more of that old bastard image will be there because it's dead, it's buried, it's gone. God has never seen it again, and all of a sudden that body that he's been looking at ever since Calvary will suddenly be seen by them that surround us and suddenly be seen by our natural eye. And there it'll be, that wonderful, wonderful body that as Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration that shall outshine the noonday sun. So then it's so wonderful To know that we are children of God by faith in God, calling those things that are not in, that that body is not in, that we've never been changed. We still call it as though it is because that's the way that God sees it in its word, and that's what will bring it to pass. A man that is sick, he says, I am well, because the Bible said by his stripes we're healed. A man that is born in sin, he says, I am a Christian, because the Bible said by faith in his righteousness. So then the Bible said that the purchased possession is the body. So God purchased it at Calvary. He paid the price for it. So I know that my body is changed. It's redeemed. And someday I'll, with the redemption of my body, which will be out there at that great wonderful change, or as it was with Enoch when it was translated and went away, or as I saw the other night in the vision when the translation took place with Sister Betty, as in a moment and the twinkling of an eye, and then the changes to these people and away they went. As it was with Jesus when he came out of the grave, the Bible said he appeared in another form. And there he lifted up before them, and they saw him go away. All right, so we know then that we are working toward the change of the body, the redemption of the body. But we do not have to worry, as from the time of our new birth, as to our salvation, we do not have to worry from this time all the way over to the change of the body. We don't have to worry about that period of time that's in there where this body is at large, as we would say. Because in the sight of God, it isn't at large at all. It is dead from Calvary. As to the time that we get our Calvary experience, we apply this Calvary experience, because before the world ever was, before we was ever born into the world, it was dead by Calvary as to the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was brought to light at Calvary as to the coming of the Lord Jesus. When our day come as to our birth, then we came and recognized this preaching as to our Calvary, acknowledged this as to being that elect under grace, and now we're enjoying it, and God doesn't see it anymore until our change. So this body is never seen as to our errors, as to our stumblings, as to our faults. We stumble 7 times, we get back up. But the Lord never charges sin against us. For he that is born of God cannot sin. How can God charge sin against the sinless? How can God charge sin against gods that cannot sin? He that is born of God cannot sin. How can God charge sin against the bone and flesh of his sinless son when there is no fault found within that just man? How, if we be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, can God charge sin against his own body, since we're the very body of Almighty God? So then we are his own family, his own children. And if children, then are we heirs and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the family of God in particular. So he chastens us as children, and he deals with us as children. And the Bible tells us that we should be zealous and repent. So then when we stumble and when we err, there is no will behind it. There is no desire behind it. For where these things are as to the atonement, there is no conscience of sin. He took away the conscience of sin, and we're dead to sin, and sin is dead to us. And we're dead to the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed of God, which is the hope of glory of Christ within you, hath kept us and made us heir to the glory of God. So then we find that during all this period of time as to the change of that body, we've not sinned against God one time. We've kept ourselves, and the evil one has not touched us a time, because the inner spiritual angelic being as to that man on the inside is sealed unto the day of redemption, which means the change, the Thessalonian change as to the day of redemption of our body, or the change of our body, which is when the Lord Jesus comes back in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So then our spirits being sealed, Satan cannot penetrate that seal. We are sealed with light, and darkness will not mix with light. Therefore, having been sealed with light And he that has sealed us, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. That is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of light has mastered Lucifer. Come at the time appointed, loose them that was bound unto death, set free the prisoners that was appointed unto death, having succored them in a day accepted as to Calvary. Loose them at that time, abolished death within his flesh, and brought to light, that is to say, understanding, immortality, and life, that we now understand life, and we are now the recipients of life, and we now have life, and that eternal, and we know that death is abolished, which means gone. It's eternally gone, and he has destroyed him that had power over death. So we're completely free from death, and we're in a new world, as the writer said, since the Lord saved us. So we are creatures of heaven. Jesus said, I come from heaven, I go back to heaven. I can say I came from heaven because he gave this to me in Christ before the world ever was. So I was in the mind of God, in the loins of God before the world ever was. I was a son of God. I came from God, I go back to God. I belong to God. See, I am like as it was. We give a little illustration as to the eagle in the barnyard. I was an eagle all the time. I've been among the chickens, but I've always been an eagle. And to you that are born of God, you've always been, as we would say, the eagle. And when you hear, as it was, the little story when the mother eagle flew over and screamed, that little eagle, she recognized that scream when the chickens didn't. And when that eagle screamed, that thing that was relative was there, and it throwed up its little head, as the story goes, flapped its little wings trying to get to that, and off it went to the mother. See, when the others got ready to do that, they couldn't do that. And besides that, it was nothing relative to make them want to do that. See, I can hear that scream. Can't you hear that scream? I can hear that scream. You know, it's in that time, Solomon spoke of it, that in that certain time, it said, and there come a cooing at the certain time, as to the springtime, or the certain time when the dove, I've been in Israel, when the turtle dove begins to coo to its mate. I've been there and I've heard it coo. And at that certain time Solomon spoke of it, said the turtle will begin to coo to its mate. And I've heard it coo in Israel. And it'll coo to its mate. And at that certain time, that mate will begin to answer. And it's that way. I can hear that turtle dove, and it's cooing like that. And as it coos, then it's something on the inside of me wants to answer it back. Just like that. It just automatically comes out and wants to answer it back. Because there's something down on the inside, as to the deep, calling to the deep at the water spout of God. And every time that turtle dove coos, there's something on the inside, it calls back. And the Bible said it shall come to pass even before I call that he will answer. I didn't have to call and ask him for something. He already answered me. He's already appropriated it in Christ. Already given it to me in his foreknowledge. Already given it to me before I was ever born into the world. See, and it's already mine. Before I ever ask, it's already mine. Already predestinated, already justified, already glorified. And them that he predestinated, when the time come, he called them. He justified them. He glorified them. And the Bible said, what can we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? So then we see that we are heavenly creatures. And we're preordained to this wonderful flight as to glory. And it's so wonderful to be a Christian, especially as we see this thing concerning Kuwait. And strangely enough, as I was telling Brother Richard the Jew, he was telling me about Buck Rambo. And in their discussion, he had made the statement that Buck said that he would like for me to come up and pray for Dottie. Now, in this, again, that is coming around as the vision I saw. Where in the vision I saw Buck Rambo and Dottie. And I saw him right at that time that I saw the vision of this thing, where I had this thing by the beard, and it was whirling around and around and around until the whole world become just a blaze of fire, and fire and brimstone was coming down. Where it's just like a propeller, you know, like these planes right now from all over the world. They're gathering right over there around the Middle East. And all of a sudden, this thing of the Olympics coming in, and people from all over the world coming right here to Atlanta, Georgia. And in the vision, we'd seen this thing burning. And another thing, Buck and them is right out of Kentucky over here, or Brother Branham comes from. And then another thing, there's Richard the Jew, you know, and right in the middle of the week, the Olympics coming in here. And The whole thing centered right around the Jew and the middle of the week and the catching up as to the man child, as to the birth and the things that we spoke of. You know, it's just staggering. About the same time that this happened, and there was another thing that I spoke of happening, as to one of the brothers here, I saw him really get down to business with God, which has happened. And then it's just recently happened. And then another thing I saw was this black person that was one of these wild singers that God wasn't pleased with at all. It had to do with this wild thing and this music and all this wild side of life. And you know, while we was out there in Nevada, this thing connected with that man called Fox. What's his name? On TV. Yeah. And I went out there, and I'm telling you what, you're talking about some dirty, filthy things that I saw in that store. But that was filthy. But anyway, I'm just saying that all these things are coming together right here at a 1, 2, 3. Right here. And in division, God wasn't pleased with the Rambos and their singing either. And of course, the last time that I saw a picture of Dottie in the paper, she was painted up in such a way as a Jezebel that it was just pitiful. So it's just one of those things. Of course, she's been struck down, and I think she's in a wheelchair or whatever, or anyway, confined to the bed. But I'm just saying that that thing went on in division until the end of the world came. So, I believe it had to do with what they call Liberace. Maybe he died, didn't he? But anyway, I'm just telling you that things are shaping up for the end of the world. But here we are, folks, having been taken care of, this wonderful thing that God has done for us. And now we can step out, having not sinned against God, having recognized this wonderful message that God has given us as to our liberty and our perfection in God, as to the perfecting of our faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus and to know that He's kept us perfect in His sight, and to yield all these things up as to the flesh and our ambitions in the flesh, and to get away from those things and turn to Christ and say, "My God, I've been a fool." Turn all those things loose and go to God. You know, somebody said, "Well, you mean I just can't work, I can't make a living, I can't do nothing?" You know, Brother Pike, if I'm to meditate in the laws day and night, did you know that Jesus walked on His own 2 feet and He meditated in the laws day and night? That is the laws of God. Did you know that He rode on the back of a donkey or an ass and He still meditated in the laws of God day and night? Did you know He talked to His disciples? He talked to people. How do you know that? He spoke to them about keeping a little money to buy something for the people to eat. And He spoke about feeding the people, the fishes and the loaves. And He still meditated day and night and brought every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. How many know that? Did you know that you can be a human being and go through life and do the things that's necessitated to life without getting involved in the things of the world and being caught away in the things of the world, and keep your mind on God, labor that you might have to give, or go out and do the things that you're supposed to do and still be caught away in Christ and praise God in all that you're doing and do all that you're doing as unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Sure, you can do it if you want to do it. Folks, it's time for you to do something for the Lord. Let's stand together. If you're ever planning to do anything for God, now's the time. You really need to move in and do it, because it's getting later and later. Sing this little chorus by Taylor. It's a good little chorus to sing right here in the end of the world. Bringing in God's sheep, bringing in, we shall come rejoice. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing. Can you sing it with me? We're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. rejoicing we're bringing in. Sing that with me. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bring in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves. You know, we got a letter, I believe it was yesterday, day before yesterday, and of course, Brother James Stokes just mentioned something to us about the individual that we're about to mention, but this letter was very sad. And a person in the hospital, and we talked to this individual not too long ago and gave him a warning. They just kind of used it like a joke, more or less, and made some strong remarks about doing something to some of the brethren, too. But they were very pitiful in the letter. They begged, literally begged for us to come to them, pray for them. And they said, my sins have caught up with me. And said, I'm afraid. And said, I don't want to die a sinner. And told how that they were so afraid. And said, if you would just come and tell me whether I've ever been a Christian or not. Said, if I haven't, said, I don't have any hope. And they said, all hope is gone. And they're so terrified. It was so, so touching and so pitiful as they just literally beg, you know, so horrible. But, I thought about the last time I talked to them, how fool fed to the fool, how overconfident, how they laughed, you know, and the vision I'd had, and how fierce. But you know, folks, you need to consider. You need to consider. You never know. You never know. You need to call on the Lord Jesus. He said, my sins have caught up with me. Don't pay to do wrong. The Bible said, be sure that your sins will find you out. He's just a young man. It says, be sure that your sins will find you out. Okay, let's sing another chorus. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. There is room at the cross for you. The altars are open if you'd like to come down. For you, although many have come, there is still there is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's lift our eyes up together to heaven, our hearts up to God. And let's just call on the Lord tonight. Let's call on the Lord. The Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. If we call on the Lord out of a pure heart, the Bible said he is near unto those that call on him out of a pure heart. So if we call on the Lord out of a pure heart, he will hear us. But if we regard iniquity, he will not hear us. And God is no respecter of person. What he has promised to one, he's promised to all. What he has said to one, he's said to all. And he'll give to one just like he'll give to all. He freely gives to all. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. He's willing to bless you. He's willing to bless me. God would like to bless us all. But we all got to meet the same conditions. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same to every generation. He doesn't change. And the Lord said, and I am the Lord, and I change not. For I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He commands us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. While we've got our heads bowed, our hands lifted up, let's sing together. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught to my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour that I first been. But when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in glory. Jordan's all wrong. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in glory. Let's sing this little chorus. And I will praise him. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Douglas to come up and dismiss us.
God, praise.
Praise the Lamb for sinners. Brother Steve Douglas. Let us give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed away every stain. Once again now, we will pray.